Welcome into the Steakhouse. Abe Gordon in for steak today alongside one Sandra Golding.
Good morning.
It is a Monday starting the week. I feel energized today, Sandy. We're coming off the weekend, and you know, sometimes that breaks you down. Sometimes it ramps you up. The week, as it always goes along, I slow down, and then there's obviously the build back towards the weekend. I'm amped up today. I don't know what it is.
I know exactly what it is.
What is it?
We got our schedule for Falcons training camp.
You think that's it?
It's a different vibe. It's a whole thing. I was watching on the Chargers website. They're already at practice.
Yeah.
I just feel like we're about to have a Mac Daddy meeting when you guys are heading to Flowery Branch. If you're out there and you're going to come to Falcons, we dominate. It's so great. We've got this big, big presence there as your home of the Falcons, and I am fired up. I am so fired up. Does that mean, it's here. Football season's here.
Yeah, and I mentioned this last week, like SEC Media Days, and I know Big Ten and ACC are going on, and we already had Big 12. Like SEC Media Days is like the start to college football, right? Mm-hmm. In my opinion, you start to get some of these preseason polls. We'll talk about that in the tailgate and a couple of other things. Like, it's the start of college football. And when I look at training camp a week later, right, because college football starts a week earlier than mm-hmm. the NFL, yeah. week zero, yeah. week one, all that stuff, like, this is the start. And to me, the differentiation is, like, no more nonsense stories. Like, we're talking football now.
Yeah, it's for real. Well, listen, when you see the videos already of the Kyle Pitts and he's working out with uh-oh. Penix and – you know, they have broken down all the players, all the game, all the schedules, all the fields, all the stadiums, all the food in the stadiums. It's nothing left to do. Like, it's go time. So the Chargers literally play next Thursday
yeah,
night.
Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
And so they're ramping it up.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting.
So what did you do the weekend? Anything great? What movies did you see?
Yeah, I did. That's pretty much what I did. We had United Saturday night. Didn't go well.
I don't even know what to say about Atlanta United.
We'll mention it in the 99 in a moment. Right. I did see a movie called Eddington. It's going to be incredibly divisive for anyone who does see it. I enjoyed it. Ari Aster's latest work.
All the movie stars.
Really good. Yeah, really good cast.
All the Oscar nominations.
Joaquin Phoenix and Pedro Pascal.
Emma
How about
Stone.
Him back-to-back weeks? Because he's got, and then this coming week, he's got Fantastic Four as well. Emma Stone, as you mentioned. That's going to be a weird love-hate movie for a lot of people.
How many running shoes? 5 out of 5 running shoes for Abe. How do you give it?
4.
Wow. Four.
Speaking of running shoes, I broke out a new pair this weekend. I did a regular run with my run group Saturday, and then I went solo on Sunday with a new pair of shoes.
What was your old pair, and what's your new ones?
They're both Asics.
Asics,
yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not, like, tied to Asics. That's just...
You like them.
A while ago, I had a gift card to a sporting goods store and just bought a bunch of running shoes that were on sale. And
that's
so
good.
This is the new pair that's on sale.
Good. No blisters?
Well, you know.
Is that
okay? You run,
wow,
when you run
you're very
miles.
Cryptic. You're very cryptic in a new shoe.
I get blisters every time I run a longer distance.
I gotcha.
It's just the way my foot works against the shoes. So
makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
How about you? Good weekend?
Good weekend. Low-key weekend, which is
hot
fine
weekend.
With me. Yes. The Wild Things, Lakeville County Wild Things, our baseball team, it's officially over. They did not make the playoffs, but we had a great run, and we had a lot of fun out there at Lakeville County. Next year is going to be a blast. Lake Life Larry, my husband, is the voice of. And Nick Swisher was there. Throwing BP, taking BP. So, you know, we got the major leaguers. Tom Petrorek is former major leaguer out there. So it's big community thing. So we
would have thought Swish was there at Truist, too, with his old squad, the Yankees, in town as well.
Was he there?
It would have made sense if he was. But there you go. A lot going on in the sports world over the course of the weekend. Let's number them down with the 9 at 9. Sandra, we're going to talk more about it in about 15 minutes. Braves lose the weekend series to the Yankees despite the hot offensive start to the second half.
Yes, they did. They are what we think they are. What's that saying? They are what they show you they are.
Yeah.
We had that bit of optimism on Friday night, feeling real good about ourselves and thinking, Ozzie's back. Michael Harris is back. Nah, you're not, because your bullpen was a part of it. The Saturday night debacle was a nightmare because you're 2 out top of the 9th and you're up 9-8 and you lose with a grand slam. You lose 12-9. And I just thought, yeah, here we are. This is who we are.
I love when a sporting event takes place in the morning hours. For me, the Open Championship, Scottie Scheffler takes it. Not a lot of drama on Sunday. He wins by four strokes over Harris English.
Most boring golf in the world is what I hear it called, because he's just, he's the lunch pail guy. I love him. I think it's awesome. That video of Bennett Scheffler that we're all seeing when he's climbing up the hill, it was a thing of beauty. The stat that jumps out for me, and I can't even fathom this, in terms of putting for Scottie Scheffler,
yeah,
he made 59 of 63 inside 10 feet. I've never heard of that. 59 of 63 within 10 feet. He made
it. Wow.
So that's a why he has, you know, and the exact number of days, I think it was 1,227 days between to get to their four championships, mm-hmm, is the same as Tiger Woods' exact number.
I saw a lot of comparative stats between Tiger's run, I think it was 01 to 05, and Scottie's run,
yeah,
21 to 25.
There you go, 4 years.
Yeah, I saw a lot of comparisons there, and a lot of people probably wouldn't be happy with putting him on that pedestal, but the numbers are the numbers on that one.
They're so different. Because
the whole sport's different.
But the difference in Tiger and Scottie is just in terms of personality, how they carry themselves, how they treat others,
yeah,
how they approach the game, liked by their peers. It couldn't be more opposite.
Yeah, I don't think Scottie, via his play maybe, but in terms of that, like, you're scared to go against this guy, he doesn't really give off that vibe. Not the way Tiger was.
He was golfer, and Tiger's,
yeah,
like, get out of my way.
Tiger was super intimidating. That was his persona,
right,
his aura. Scottie, yeah, doesn't have that.
No.
Again, from his persona, not from his play.
Right.
Atlanta United loses 3-2 to Charlotte. They're 13 points back of a playoff spot, 11 matches remaining. Also, some reports that Atlanta United and Montreal reached a deal for center back Efren Morales, and the transfer window opens in a couple of days here, so
is it
going to
be dump everybody?
I think I think there's going to be a lot of moves. The question, kind of like the Braves, right? You want to get Iglesias and Ozuna out, and it's kind of like, well, who's taking either of them? I think
right.
There's some of that with Atlanta United. I'll be fascinated to see who they are able to move
next
on.
Next game
from.
Is when?
They play again on Saturday at
Match
home
game.
Against the Seattle Sounders. A WNBA All-Star Weekend. Sabrina Ionescu wins the three-point contest. Alicia Gray from The Dream finished mm-hmm. second in that one. Also, some controversy, if you want to call it that, at least a discussion starter. They wore some warm-up shirts that said, pay us what you owe us.
Okay. And why do people get so mad when people want to make more money? Why is there a big... Oh, they're woke. Oh, how dare they? Why is that, Abe? I don't understand it.
I've never had a problem with people asking for money. The same way I don't have a problem if someone says no, you can't make them more money, man. That's just how it works. So,
well, let me tell you what's going on in the WNBA for those of you haters, if you will. In 2023, a franchise was worth $50 million. The latest one just sold at Golden State for $250 million. So there is money coming in. They like to make it look like they're losing lots of money because that's what they should have been doing. I think there's money going to be betting on the come. So you're going to get paid, and good for those girls wanting money. I have no problem with that at all.
No.
I actually wear a T-shirt in here all the time in front of my
Conti,
my boss.
How does that get recognized?
And I say, we need more money. He took my car to the elevator, and he said, you can't come up here anymore.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
That's why we had the door propped open by a trash can this morning.
Why do people do that, by the way?
Well, we have to do it for some members because their fingerprint is not either doesn't work or is not in the system. But it's not really a safety measure at that point, is it?
You think?
Derek Queen, the Pelicans rookie, injured his wrist. He had surgery. He's out at least 3 months. Going to be out at least until the start of NBA training camp. This is significant, obviously, because there's a good chance that that pick that ultimately comes from the Pelicans is going to be the Atlanta Hawks. We want that team to be as bad as possible.
That was the 13th pick. The Pelicans traded with us.
That's
right. Yeah, so that's how it all comes to play. And I know if Todd Graffanini, our voice of the Pelicans, is listening, I'm sad for him because he was having a real sweet summer. Did you see his numbers in the summer before he hurt his wrist?
He's a good player.
Yeah, he was putting them up. Yep.
So was Asa Newell. So we'll talk about that.
Is Asa Newell. It's great, yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of, the Hawks finished summer league, sitting those main roster players, Asa Newell, Kobe Bufkin, Nikola Jurišić, all sat. They lose their first game to the Celtics in their finale. It was a consolation game, not the Summer League championship. I don't know how you go undefeated and don't qualify for the championship game. Summer League does their own thing. But they wrap up, and they're trending upwards, definitely for Asa Newell, if not Kobe Bufkin
Goodness,
as well.
It's all over the internet on podcasts. Hawks are the talk of the NBA, which is great. What it looks like is they got the only A in terms of, and I want to say it was ESPN, that did the grades out for the offseason moves so far. They were got the only A.
A lot of that comes from the trade that you referenced where they absolutely fleeced the Pelicans. Two more stories here to wrap up the 9 at 9. Manny Pacquiao. Unable to defeat Father Time, majority decision draw against Mario Barrios. And Denny Hamlin at the Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400 at Dover's Monster Mile. I was getting there.
Denny's Dover, baby. I just beat your favorite driver and the booze come in. But the good news there, Chase Elliott is now your points leader overall. He's about a handful of points in front of William Byron. Every single time I peeked at the race, Denny Hamlin was winning, which is not the kind of race I particularly love, but good for Denny Hamlin.
All right. When we come back here on the Steakhouse, we got some audio you got to hear in response to the Atlanta Braves. There was a situation during this Yankee series that has caught the eye, not just of the fan base here in Atlanta, actually caught the eye of Major League Baseball. And so we'll talk about that on the other side. Also, the false hope given to us by the Atlanta Braves. It was there, and then it wasn't. And then a sharp reminder of the more things change, the more they stay the same, unfortunately. So a lot of Braves discussion coming your way. We're going to hear more from Scottie Scheffler after his victory at the Open Championship. And
junk food, y'all. It's National Junk Food Day, and already on Twitter, because it brings you back to when you first learned about junk food. What did Mom and Dad have in the cabinets? That was like, oh, man, a whole package of Star Crunch from Little Debbie's, or what was it? What was it that got us fat?
That's exactly how I was going to phrase it, too. What was it that now forces me onto a diet at the age of nearly 40? A lot more to come still on the Steakhouse. It is Sandra Golden, Abe Gordon in for Steak Shapiro on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. These cameras in here are still off, right? We're still all right?
I get it.
Welcome back into the Steakhouse. Abe Gordon in for steak alongside Sandra Golden. Boy, if this wasn't the go-to meme of the weekend.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
I mean, it was
well
everywhere.
It was hilarious.
I saw it at probably 8 different sporting events where they were doing a Coldplay Kiss Cam type thing, and there was always a reference or a mention in some manner. And then just the meme game on social media was strong
this weekend. I loved the Lane Kiffin hugging
Feinbaum.
Paul Feinbaum was my favorite, yes.
Yeah, there was a lot of those. And obviously this is a story that, for better or for worse, continues to unravel, I guess would be the
Karma's
term.
Karma is undefeated. Karma is undefeated. He resigns over the weekend. She's the one with all the money. We're not sure if she's married into it or that's her dad. Her family is worth $15.4 billion with a B. This going to get – how about today at the office?
Well, she's not technically gone from the company. She's been placed on leave. I don't know how you could – I don't know how you could even possibly not eventually move on.
If your husband / family's worth $15.4 billion, are you really needing that HR executive job? None of this makes sense to me. I don't understand
it. Now you're going conspiracy on me.
Something.
Why she have the job to begin with?
Why are you working?
Maybe she has a passion.
She doesn't, I'm sure. She does have a passion for Coldplay, apparently. Coldplay concerts. I love it.
I'm just saying, if I had a family, I don't, that was worth $15.4 billion, I might still, wake up and come do sports radio. I might own the station I do it on, but...
You wouldn't be the director of HR. Don't you find that very strange? I was like, wait a minute.
She's a people person,
It was
Sandra.
Hilarious. And Coldplay, then the night after that, I don't know if you saw where Chris Martin just gets up there and goes, so, and those of you who don't know, this is the segment during a concert where we put you on camera. And Roger Federer was there the next night in Madison. Roger Federer was in the stands watching. And
I think Celine Dion was at one of the recent concerts.
Oh, my God. Toronto. She was in Toronto. Yeah. So, and he was like, listen, maybe if you don't have your makeup done, and everybody's giggling. He never addressed it. I just thought it was one. I've never seen the country so united together.
You know what's crazy? And like Coldplay has number one hits. They've been a big deal for a long time. There are people who are now being introduced to Coldplay that have never heard their songs. I didn't look at the numbers. I guarantee you the Spotify streams have had jumped up crazy.
Oh, they were the 2, 3, 4, and 5 spots Coldplay over the weekend.
It just 100%. That never happens without this.
I literally was like, Siri, play Coldplay. Like,
it's such a weird side story to then, like, again, they're a big deal, so I don't want to say put them back on the map, but you know what I'm saying. Like, this...
Well, you get Coldplay shame, too. There's, like, if you like Coldplay, I mean, Kirk Cousins.
Are they the same way that, like, Nickelback?
Exactly, right.
That's so dumb.
Did you hear Kirk Cousins? He's like, that's the greatest concert I've ever seen. Did you watch Quarterback?
Come on. I woke up at 3 a.m. to watch
it. So that was one of Kirk Cousins. But, yeah, you get Coldplay shamed. I thought it was great.
I don't like the you're not allowed to like this band mentality.
Well, I don't listen to it. Right? Like, we don't care. I mean, you drink daiquiris, don't care about things.
Yeah, that's fair. But I don't know. Shouldn't be shamed for having your own taste. I don't know why that's a problem.
Music is such a divider, too, boy. If you have an opinion that's...
Well, the band sucks. Yeah. I'm like, all right, man, I'm just here for the vibes. Like, relax. Calm down. The Atlanta Braves. I don't know if vibes is the right thing. What's going on there? They lose the weekend series here, Sandra. And the thing... That is fun. I don't. Funny's not the right term. I don't want to like make fun of the fan base or make people feel bad. But Friday night, you win 7-3. Strider does his thing. Acuna does his thing. We'll talk about the throw in just a moment. Saturday, you come out 5-0 lead, 7-2 lead, and people are sitting there. They've just watched Ozzy Albies hit 3-run home runs in 2 straight games. They watched Michael Harris in that second game Saturday hit a solo home run. And there's this mentality of like, here we go. See, second half of the season, we told y'all this team would be better. That's they just need a little break. Here we go. Boom. Offense is here. 7 runs. Who wants a home run? Let's go. And then there was that harsh reminder. We can't bridge innings. And oh, right. Joey Wentz, by the way, great job. But it was still a bullpen game.
Terrible.
And we don't have... a bullpen. And it was like all this, we're back, baby. And then all of the sudden, no, you're not, man. And I think it was a harsh reminder for people who got probably a little too excited after a game and a half of
the return. Well, it's also
the
second half. I mean, right? It was like that moment, let's reset.
Yeah.
And then we come out guns a-blazing Friday night. Ronald Acuna, every single station had it as the number one play. Will likely be an ESPY's best Major League Baseball play of the year. Like, that's how good it was. So I'm with you. But you are who you show you are. The bullpen is awful. They are worn out.
Yeah.
The starting pitchers, the best, are on the shelf. We can't hit. You said we can't even put innings together, much less games back-to-back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not working. Watch what the Brewers are doing, 10 consecutive games. When you start to look at that, like, maybe that could be us. No, you can't put two together. So it's over. We just need to march to the end. We need to reset. And all this trade deadline stuff, I don't know. Bob Nightingale is reporting, you know, the Aussies of the world, the Marcells of the Raisel Iglesias. I don't know. Raisel Iglesias, you want to show him Saturday night? I just don't know. I just don't think you start trading people when their value, quite frankly, couldn't be lowest.
Yeah.
Low.
Look, I don't mind trying to get something for them, but it's
what are you going to get back even for Ozuna?
Anything.
Ozuna's hip is not right.
Anything. But the reality is you're not going to get a top five prospect for a guy that's got 2 months on his contract. Yeah. If you want to tell me you're getting some mid-tier arm as a prospect, like, whatever, fine. Maybe something develops out of that. Maybe it doesn't. And I'm completely okay with that. But I'm not going to sit here and be like, you're getting a package back for these guys. Just, you got to be realistic about what you can get. And if it's a bag of balls and a little bit of cash, then so be it. And that's kind of where I'm at.
The other thing I just want to mention is during yesterday's game, Wiley Ballard is reporting on all the injuries. Chris Sale was long tossing in the yard. And Joe Jimenez is down in Florida.
Yeah.
If they are so out of it. We've got 64 games left.
Yeah. Why
are you even ramping up? Why are you doing any of it? Get everybody healthy and let's play some younger guys, give them some experience, accept the L, wave the white flag, and let's move on.
I don't fully disagree. I think for a guy like Jimenez who's been out all year, you wouldn't mind some competitive innings. For guys like Sale and Schwellenbach, who you're not going to get till mid-September or whatever, I'm with you on that. For a guy that's been out all year, and I don't know the timeline for Ronaldo Lopez. I know he's kind of in that group. Like, if there's a chance to get a couple of competitive outings to send him into the offseason, you know, maybe. But I'm with you. Like, let's not force anything here. You're not making a run.
Falcons camp starts Thursday.
That's
we
right.
just all – Braves season. Fans, Braves country, I'm with you. We just have to turn our hat around, buckle down. We've got three with the Giants, which we haven't mentioned. If you wanted to go down tonight, it is Bryce Elder and Hayden Birdsong. You are 10.5 out this morning, I believe.
I'm not even looking.
43-55.
Be honest, Sandra, I'm not looking
at the
number anymore.
You're closer to the Nats than anything. You're one of the worst teams in baseball. It's really sad.
Real quick, and we're actually going to hear the sound later in the show. Ronald Acuna's throw on Friday night, the outfield assist to Nacho Alvarez. It's no surprise that Ronald Acuna has a great arm. Like, we've known this for a long time. That still might be the most impressive display of his talents that I've ever seen. Flat-footed, doesn't get his body behind it, no bounce, on the fly, to the point, and credit to Nacho Alvarez for deking the runner as well. We've seen some great plays in the field. We've seen some great throws. That might be the most impressive moment of the season, not just for the Braves, but like that's the best throw that has taken place in Major League Baseball this year.
And Major League Baseball players across the board on Twitter were saying that's the greatest play we've seen from the outfield in this generational. You know, Roberto Clemente's name was caught up.
Yeah.
I meant like people that are watching the game now and playing the game now. He's amazing.
The other story that comes out of this weekend is what's going on between the Yankees and the Braves, specifically between Jazz Chisholm and Eddie Perez. It looks like Jazz Chisholm was relaying signs or tipping pitches while on second base. Eddie Perez reacted to that. He was pointing in his head in an action that is now being reviewed by Major League Baseball. Let's hear from the Yankees broadcast.
This is as it was happening.
Yeah, what Jazz Chisholm had to say.
Really good job. Look at Jazz here. He's talking to somebody in the Braves dugout. Like, I don't want to hear it. And that somebody is Eddie Perez, one of Snitker's coaches. You can see he's pointing to his head. So he's going right at Chisholm. And that's what he's saying about pointing to the head. And then Chisholm's telling Luis Rojas, he's talking about hitting me in the head. So we'll watch that for you. Jazz is pointing to somebody specifically.
At this point, just turn the page and let it go. Worry about what you're doing.
He looks like he's saying somebody said I'm going to
hit
you
in the
head.
Yeah, and that's something that you can never say.
First of all, Eddie Perez is not telling anybody to hit in anybody's head. I'm going to tell you right now. And Aaron Boone, I have a real, real problem with you mouthing off to Major League Baseball without having the respect for a co-manager in Brian Snitker and walking across the field to the office and saying what's going on. Now, how do I know that he didn't do it? Because yesterday after the game, Brian Snitker said, I got to tell you, I didn't really know anything about it. I was told this morning that he was saying something about MLB. I have a real problem with that. And Abe, I don't even think it's his job to go to Eddie. The mutual respect is manager to manager.
Yeah, no. First off, I don't think Aaron Boone can go to Eddie Perez. I think you're right. He has to go to Snitker and say, hey, can you talk with your guy here? Eddie Perez is saying that he was telling Chisholm that he said, if you like Chisholm, I'm a big fan of his. He was saying, be smart about your actions. Obviously, there are other stances that view the action as a threat of plunking, and now Major League Baseball is involved. Here's where I stand on it, is tipping pitches, relaying signs is not new.
It's part of
this is not banging the trash can. If you don't want your signs to be relayed, have better signs. You have PitchCom. They shouldn't be able to do that. And he's more suggesting, hey, he's set up high. The pitch is coming high. it was a high pitch, and they got a sack fly out of it. So you're tipping location,
so
if
Jazz
anything.
So Jazz Chisholm is doing something.
He was kind of just shoveling his hand up saying it was
hip,
a high.
Right, like he was doing
pitch is coming high.
That's
yeah.
right. Okay, that's fine. But it's also okay for Eddie to go look at his go, be smart. Like he's saying, you know what's going to happen. Like,
but we don't know. Here's the thing. We don't know specifically what was. He could have been pointing to his head and saying, I know what you're doing.
No, no. He literally, Eddie
yeah.
Perez said,
well,
I was
said.
Pointing to
yeah.
my head, like, we know what you're doing. Like, okay. And if you get plunked, I'm with you. I just think the whole thing was much ado about nothing. And I don't like how Aaron Boone handled it.
Yeah. I think if Jazz Chisholm had gotten plunked, it's a different story here. The
yes.
fact that we're
yes.
suggesting he's threatening a plunking, this, that, there was no plunking.
And I
and
also
so,
think Eddie was like, I see you. Like he's pointing to his eyes like, I
yeah.
see you. And then he said I was telling him to be smart.
I also just think
anyway, just ticked me off in an otherwise terrible weekend where there were more Yankee fans at Truist Park. It was the largest crowd on hand for any game this year. And Bo, our partner in crime, the bartender, was saying you couldn't tell whether it was the Braves doing something great or
yeah,
the
they
Yankees.
Showed up. I mean, it's been you
Which,
know, five or six years
did.
Since
yeah.
the Yankees have been
yeah.
to Truist Park.
Yeah.
Maybe even longer, but they didn't disappoint. They showed up. Every Yankee stereotype was there, all of them. It was quite amusing.
Well, there you go. We'll have more
on
the Braves.
We'll have Bo expand on that later.
Yeah, we'll have more on the Braves at top of the hour here. I want to get into the tailgate, but before we do that, some more thoughts on the Open Championship. Scottie Scheffler, some of the comments leading into the week, some of the comments leading out of the week. A lot still to come here on the Steakhouse. It's Abe Gordon, Sandra Golden on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in the Steakhouse. Abe Gordon in for Steak Shapiro this week. Sandra Golden joining me here on a Monday morning. I got you up at Falcons training camp alongside me on Thursday.
So
whole
excited.
Whole group's going to be there all the way up through. And very excited. I mean, I really am. Like, I was listening to Mike and Bo talk about, like, the 1v1s earlier on my drive in this morning. The O-line versus D-line versus the wide receiver versus cornerback and which ones they prefer. Obviously, Mike, as a big-bellied fella,
right.
His words, not mine. Says he's looking forward to the O-line, D-line matching up and some of that stuff. But training camp's here. Like it's coming this
it's
week, so
season,
looking
yeah.
forward to that. There's no
Go,
doubt about
AtlantaFalcons.com,
it.
AtlantaFalcons.com, you guys, has the full schedule in terms of what's open to the fans going and the whole experience. You remember last year it was closed up, so y'all are really going to love it. That new weight room and workout room and facility. It is so beautiful if y'all haven't been up there. So make a point to go. And Joe Patrick's in the house nodding. And I know he's been up there a lot as well. It just feels exciting. Abe and I have the TV on for ESPN Get Up. The five teams to make the playoffs after missing last year. The first one mentioned were the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, no, it's going to be exciting. But I just was nodding about that weight room.
Yeah,
it is really
so
impressive.
Sick.
We got a tour of it last year when they first built it. It's really incredible what they have built in, like to like a power rack. There's an optical camera that's attached to it that's measuring the bar, you know, whether it's tilted one way or another, how the velocity of the bar being raised so that it can basically determine whether players need to move their weights up or whatnot or determine imbalances.
Wow.
Yeah,
everything's
really
analytics and technology.
Yeah.
It's probably got some
yeah.
AI suggestions.
And there's an iPad on the power yeah. rack as well where they just log in and there's basically, you know, their regiment set up for them to –
And they're monitoring how much they're in there and doing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you real quick, in terms of logistics for fans, because that parking lot that used to be there is no longer there. So they're going to all go park right by Flowery Branch High School and
yep.
they're shuttle over, right?
That's
so
right. Yeah, you'll want to
yeah.
park over at those
Hog Mountain Complex.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly. Those baseball fields.
That's where
and,
I'll be
either walk
walking.
Or get a shuttle.
Yeah. You see me walking over across
that's
there.
Right. That's right.
That's what we all do.
Power walk in the sun.
That's the image of training camp, though. You know, everybody walking over with
yeah.
their like with their folding chairs or whatever over their backs. That's great.
It was so quiet last year. We definitely want the fans back because there's just an energy out there that's going to be awesome. And
not going to lie, I did enjoy the air conditioning last year. We won't be doing that this year, so we'll put up with it, though.
Your
we'll
body's probably it. Used to it, though, as much as
you don't.
Run.
I do. I get. Any walk I take with Chipper after 10 a.m., I come back, and I'm only out there for like 20 minutes, just drenched in sweat. And I have you know, I have an older house, and so I have to, like, stand where the vent is.
To cool off.
As the air conditioning blows directly on me. I'm like, all right, let's work this. I actually went for a run. We talked about this on Sunday. And by the time I got back in front of the TV, the Open Championship, while not literally over, was effectively over. Right. I turn the TV on. The first thing I see is seven strokes. And I say, well, Scheffler's not blowing a seven-stroke lead midway through his round on Sunday. So he picks up another major. He continues just an incredible run over the last 4 years. A number of majors, couple of player championships, Olympic medal, all this stuff. And the story for him is just the mindset, too.
Yeah, which last week, and we played a lot for you on With Me and Steak, he's talking about that the wins weren't as high as they used to and that he certainly enjoys it, but it's also like, okay, well, what's for dinner, which is the exact thing. So he, after the win yesterday, this is part of it, what you're about to hear, but he prefaced it because I didn't include this part where he said he thought a lot of it was taken out of context. I'm going to tell you, I listened to all 16 minutes last week, and I thought it was quite profound, and I think a lot of us likely feel that way if you can get in between the words, meaning that there is more to life than what you do.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, this is a cool feeling. I can't wait to get home and celebrate this championship, you know, with the people that have kind of helped me along the way. But at the end of the day, it doesn't fulfill the deepest desires of my heart. And but it's just tough to describe when you haven't lived it. You know, something I actually talked to Shane about this week was, you know, just because you win a golf tournament or accomplish something, it doesn't make you happy. It doesn't, maybe for a few moments, maybe for a few days, but at the end of the day, you know, there's more to life than playing golf. But you know, I'm pretty excited to go home and celebrate this one.
It's an incredibly deep conversation to have, and I think a lot of people looked at the initial comments as surface level, and like you said, there's so much more that goes into this. I mean, it's partially a mental health conversation. It is so important to hear him say that, to understand that I am more than just a professional golfer. I am a human being with these emotions, with good days, bad days, home life, and all this stuff, and what you see of me, because we see him as on the golf course or on the putting green or warming up, that's all we see of him. There's so much more to him than what is on TV or what's broadcast.
He's a man of faith. He is a deep Christian man. He is a husband and father first, as you saw Bennett. But also he told a story yesterday, which I thought was so perfectly said. He said when he was little, he started wearing pants to the golf course. And it would be so hot out because he said, I wanted to emulate those professional golfers and show respect to the sport. And he said that's how he has practiced his game as a professional all these years. He said, I used to get made fun of because they were like, it's so hot, what do you, because he's like, that's what they do, they're professionals. But he's also got it in the right perspective, which I think is why he's able to keep that so focused and then be able to switch it. And oh, my kid's crawling up, you know, over there. My kid's crawling up the green, and the crowd goes wild. He didn't hesitate to put that. He didn't throw the trophy down. But the claret jug, he was like, I'm leaving that there. I'm going to get my kid. I thought that was so ironic.
It was cute, the couple of spills and tumbles that so Bennett cute. Was making. It was a tough hill, man. It was a tough hill up
Listen,
to the green.
Ramping up. It's tough struggling. For all of us to go uphill.
All right. It definitely is. Want to get into a couple of other stories going on. We talked a little bit NFL. We got some more NFL discussion coming as well. But it is time to talk college football in the tailgate.
We'll put a bow on the SEC Media Days in a second. But what's going on this week? I mean, there's a little bit of drama, a little bit of TMZ sports that I'm interested in. ACC Media Days are in Charlotte beginning tomorrow. Tomorrow, Miami's there, which means Carson Beck is going to be
the $6 million man.
Yeah, you guys reports are $6 million. And the Cavender twins had a little bit of surgery over the weekend. And there were reports that were incorrect, I believe, that maybe Carson Beck is back with this girl. And I was sending it to Rusty in our little steakhouse group. And they're like, that cannot be true. That's
no
not
way.
True. That's not true. Yeah, it does give a whole new meaning to the word Cavender twins, though, is all I'm going to say to you. And now next up, Thursday, y'all. North Carolina and the Bill Belichick experience. So that's happening.
Speaking of the Bill Belichick experience, also happening is that docuseries that's following Bill and UNC leading into his first season. We remember that there was a potential that it would be the version of Hard Knocks that HBO runs. That deal fell through. It now, though, found a home. It is expected to air on Hulu. And
so
you might still get an opportunity to see that if you want it. It's a hard pass for me.
I'm going to peek at it, but I have a feeling that there's too many people that have their fingers in that editing it, and it's going to be a whole lot of propaganda, which I'm not really interested in. Wednesday in Charlotte is Georgia Tech, Florida State, Louisville, Pitt, Syracuse, Wake Forest. So we'll keep you abreast of that. Big Ten Media Days also underway. They are in Las Vegas on Tuesday, Wednesday,
yeah,
Thursday.
Yeah, definitely want to hear what Petiti has to say in response to Greg Sankey. This hour of the Steakhouse brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. The SEC media preseason poll has been announced. Texas is picked ahead of Georgia in the SEC. Let me go ahead and say this. You got idiots like Abe Gordon voting in this thing. I did go through and vote. It is a process. And
what
I
was
feel
your top five?
I had Georgia over Texas.
Well, what was your top five? What was the order?
I think I had Georgia, Texas. I have Georgia one.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I had Oklahoma and Alabama. Maybe Alabama, then Oklahoma. And then I don't remember.
LSU?
I think I threw LSU in fifth.
Okay.
I think I like Alabama and Oklahoma more than LSU. But I don't remember. I did have Garrett Nussmeier as my first team quarterback for the SEC. They do the whole list of it. Texas is ahead of Georgia, partially because people believe in Texas, partially because they have way more media members covering the Texas Longhorns than Georgia does. And so, like, just from a pure numbers and a bias standpoint, that is going to happen.
It is substantial, though. They got 96 first votes.
I would just
44.
Say it's not the scientific poll that maybe people make it out to be if you got me voting in it. That's all.
Well, it was offered to all of us,
yeah.
And I just simply hit delete.
It was a lot
immediately.
Of work. It was a lot more work than I thought.
I just do think that the best discussion to me to come away from just talking points in the SEC media, Abe, was Greg McElroy and the conversation that was, you could literally take 10 teams in the SEC and make an argument that they could win the SEC. And that says depth, that says transfer portal, that's what we're trying to achieve. When you look at Kirby and what he's doing now, and first, second, third team, there's not a lot of Georgia Bulldogs for the first time. The amount of blue blood five stars that Texas have. Y'all, the number that Oklahoma has, I don't think you've looked at their roster. Rusty's probably listening, bowling right now, because what Oklahoma has on their roster is sick in terms of their pedigree of players. So I get it. I totally get it. Makes for a fun football season because you just don't want one team to be running away with the whole thing.
No, the other thing is it continues that strength of schedule conversation.
Oh,
if you got 10 teams that can win this conference, that means you're playing probably five or six of them in the calendar year, in the league year, and there's all that. UGA had 11 players on first, second, or third team preseason. The first teamers were Christian Miller, the D lineman, C.J. Allen, the linebacker, K.J. Bolden, the safety, and Dalen Everett, the cornerback. They were all first-teamers, and so you could be looking at another season where that defense ramps up for Georgia, and which is going to take a little bit of pressure.
But that number
off
is
some of that.
way down from previous years of first-teamers that Georgia was adding into the mix from
I'm
how
not
many
too
that they
concerned.
Lost.
They did technically also have first-teamers all across
the special teams.
The punter, Brett Thorson. The kicker, Peyton Woodring, the long snapper, and the returners, all first-teamers as well. So, I mean, again, we talk about how Georgia's able to win some of these close games, and you look at the specifics. Special teams makes a difference for the Bulldogs. Kirby Smart is aware of that, and they're ramped up in first-teamers. Sanford Stadium, fourth in CBS's list of most intimidating stadiums. Ahead of it were Tiger Stadium, LSU, that's number one, Neyland Stadium at Tennessee, and Beaver Stadium from Penn State. Those are the three ahead of UGA. I don't know. I don't have a problem with that. I think you're talking the slimmest of margins.
LSU is where?
One.
LSU is one.
Tennessee
okay.
Two, Penn State three, Georgia four.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's
and,
not
and
bad
it's
at
not,
all. It, the it, Swamp was the some poll I saw was number one in the SEC, and I was like, hold on.
Yeah, that may have been the EA Sports video game.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, I think that was the EA Sports one. I think you're talking about the slimmest of margins. Like, is it really that much tougher to play in Tiger Stadium than Sanford when it's ramped up? Probably. I mean, you're talking about the slimmest of margins. I think the atmosphere for a night game at LSU is just different than a couple other places.
Neyland Stadium, to me, was the greatest atmosphere I've ever been in. It was during the day, and it was the whole experience with the Navy, you know, the boat. I mean, it is pretty sick. When Baton Rouge gets going, though, that was, I mean, you could argue for each of them. The argument for Georgia is the last time they lost a game in Sanford was 2019.
Right. So this is where the conversation takes a turn for me. It's talking about the stadium being intimidating, not the problem you have winning in the stadium, right? Not how tough the team is to beat there. Georgia has the longest current active home winning streak in all of college football. That is partially because of sure and intimidating environment. It's also partially because that team's damn good.
Exactly right. Which there's two different animals there. So, yeah, I agree with you.
I do think, like, you talk about LSU at night. I mean, Penn State's third on this list. I mean,
I've never
Are you talking about a regular game or are we talking about a whiteout game? You know what I mean? Like, there are.
Have you ever been up there? I have not been.
Not for a game. Yeah. I have been to Penn State. But, yeah, it's. It's kind of its own thing. So we'll be following the ACC Media Days, Big Ten Media Days as they get going tomorrow. We'll have some more on that in the tailgate.
I can't wait for Carson Beck to sit down and chat everybody up.
Might
That's
be some questions
be awesome.
To be answered there.
Oh my, or not. I mean, I'm pulling for the guy. Good for him. Made a monetary decision. Good for him.
Sandra sent me a text Saturday, late afternoon into the early evening, that kind of got me fired up for this week working with you and doing what we're doing the rest of the week, covering football and starting a training camp. I'll tell you what she sent me. We'll also hear from Bo Johnson about your fantasy draft timeline. Because
it's draft season, he told me this morning.
It shouldn't be. Some people are about to make massive mistakes. We'll talk about that on the other side as well. Also, we want to hear from Brian Snicker, what he said, latest most impressive performance from Ronald Acuna Jr. All that coming up in hour number two of the Steakhouse. Hour one brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. The Steakhouse continues in a couple of minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back into the Steakhouse, fastest 2 hours in radio. Abe Gordon in for steak this week. Sandra Golden with me today. She'll be with me on tomorrow, and she'll be with me on Thursday when we head out to Flowery Branch for Falcons training camp. We'll have more on that in a little bit. Question for you, Sandra.
Yes, dear.
What's your eating routine pre-show? Because I did not eat yet today, and I'm starving.
I'm on the Joyless Diet. Which is the same one that Mike Bell is on. So you eat every 2.5 hours. You get a shake or a protein
bar. You're not like waking up middle of the night to eat, are you?
No.
Okay. Mark Wahlberg, the Rock thing where they...
Listen, it's the joyless summer once again, but I'm happy with the results, so I'm good. So when will you eat?
Well, after the show at this point, I'll just wait until after the show and eat.
So why don't you get up and just have something, have an egg or something? So
I'm moving.
Get your body
going. In the morning, first thing I do, I wake up, I take the dog out, I immediately...
Coffee?
Energy drink on the drive-in.
Okay.
Just, I don't know, I wanted
so
to eat.
So like a Monster or whatever?
Yeah,
like
whatever's in the fridge. Yes,
but no
whatever.
Coffee?
No, I've never been a coffee person. Mm-hmm. But now I am hungry. I also brought like a little thing of a tuna salad, and so I don't want to, you know, tick anyone off by eating tuna salad in the studios too often. Uh-huh. Bo is accepting of the tuna salad, and I've always appreciated his allowance of me to eat it.
It's not quite the same thing as microwaving fish. Like, you can't really smell tuna
exactly.
salad. Exactly. And like, you, I mean, microwaving a piece of salmon, kind of a
You guys
thing.
Have seen me eat. Like, the tuna salad lasts a minute 10, and then it's just gone. Like, I eat so quick.
Did you see the viral thing on the airplane where, you know, they serve those snack things where there's tuna, there's mayonnaise, and there's little crackers?
Oh, okay, yeah.
So she made it up on the plane, and let me tell you, they were not thrilled on that flight. That she stank up the whole. Yep, stank up the whole plane.
While we're on this topic, I had a flight. I was flying to England, and literally as the flight is ascending, so right after takeoff, this woman opens up a bag of hard-boiled eggs.
No, ma'am.
Immediately the guy next to her just calls for the flight attendant, immediately asks him for a different seat on the plane.
You can't bring eggs. It should be banned. Eggs or fish.
It was brutal.
It's just terrible. Oh.
Yeah, it's like long flights are the real problem, because you shouldn't need any of that. If it's like, if you got the 90-minute flight from here to Miami or whatever, fine. Like, if you're going to Arizona, that's when you have to, like, think and plan, because you might get hungry on the on the plane. You can hold out for 90 minutes.
That's what I say.
Shouldn't have to. Mm. I do remember, we took goodie bags as kids, though, but it was all, like, I mean, to the junk food conversation we'll have, it was all, like,
yeah, like
cereal.
A granola bar,
or, yeah,
candy,
it was,
yeah. Pringles.
Pop-Tarts are undefeated.
Oh, nice.
Nowadays, you can go with the Uncrustable situation, which never lets you down.
So cute.
What? Uncrustables?
Mm-hmm.
They're delicious. They're great.
I love 12-year-olds.
You know what else is great?
Uncrustable.
These new jerseys that the Atlanta Braves have
Not
put
New
out.
Jersey, the state. The Braves, y'all, are going to Bristol Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
And they just released the jerseys and the helmets, and they are sick. They
MLB Speedway Classic, August 2nd against the Reds, Bristol Motor Speedway. They've got a NASCAR font to the numbers. The brim.
Which means it's like the driver on the side of the car,
yeah,
is what the jerseys are. It's so good.
The brim of the hat's got a little bit of red flame action,
yep, yep,
going on.
The checkered flag is in the back.
On like the back of the
checkered
batting helmet, yeah.
Well done. Well done.
So those are available on social media, though. I really like them, though.
I love them.
I
yeah.
do.
That, y'all, if you've never been to Bristol Motor Speedway, you should drive up for this. Braves and Reds. August 2nd, did you say it starts?
Yeah.
You will have an absolute blast at this place. And I believe, I want to say either Brad Paisley or Tim McGraw is in concert first during that same play. It's going to be amazing.
Well, there you go. I didn't know that, but that'll be even more reason.
I bring the country music knowledge, Abe. That's what
there,
I do.
I'm in it, but just not that in it. Running out of reasons to watch the Braves a little bit because of what happened over the weekend. But one thing that just keeps me coming back is Ronald Acuña Jr. He's just, I don't know how many different ways he can impress me, even though I kind of already know and expect what's happening. That throw Friday night, though,
sick,
is just, it's one of the greatest plays I've ever seen an individual make. Also want to credit Nacho Alvarez for the late tag and the deke there at third to prevent the slide. Brian Snicker, though, was asked after that throw just his thoughts on Ronald Acuña Jr. being the best player in baseball.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know who the best player in baseball is. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of young players that are really, really good. He's one of them. I don't know that, you know, I mean, he has skills as good as anybody in the game, and you're not even seeing one of them. I mean, he's kind of picking and choosing, but, you know, you see – Ty, you know, he still has that speed you know what? You can make a case for it. You asked me that. You know, if I sit here and talk to myself in the total game, he's as good as anybody.
Yeah, I think I saw 301 feet on that throw, and Bo mentioned only outfield assist in the last 5 years to go 300 or more feet in the air. It's just another – this guy is incredible. I don't know how –
And
I
you mentioned flat-footed because that was it looked effortless. It looked like he was just tossing the ball in.
Normally you'll get a guy go behind the run, take a step or two, crow hot. He just kind of caught it and winged it. 301 feet.
Phenomenal.
Catching the ball over the shoulder.
So sick.
This is a pop fly
over
the shoulder.
Yeah, he had to spin. He had to spin to throw it. And then Nacho Alvarez just sat there and didn't move.
He didn't move.
He had to move his glove to catch that thing. Incredible accuracy, the speed. I rewatched it. I'm like, how does this ball not drop?
I love the Yankees dugout when they kept showing it because it was just, what in the world is going on?
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about it. You sent me a text on Saturday afternoon. It was a very simple text. It was a very timely text. I'm so excited it's football season.
Yeah.
That's all you sent me.
That's
and
exactly
I'm like,
right.
Let's do this show tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, let's, or not tomorrow
because
you said
felt
it Saturday.
Like,
but like, yeah.
We here at 92.9 The Game, the home of the Falcons, we are having a big meeting today. It is all hands on deck. We are all over it. And the page is turning. And I wish the Braves didn't stink this year, but they do. So now I'm just more and more into it. And the hype train is in full steam ahead. I literally was talking to Joe Patrick off camera. I was like, Braylon Trice, no one's talking about Braylon Trice, who was injured. ACL Escher, out all year, was the third-round pick in 24, 23, I've lost all count, 24. And he went to Washington. And does he know Michael Penix? And it's just, y'all, there's storyline after storyline after storyline.
Yeah, and Trice led the country in college football his last year in quarterback pressures.
So we're not talking about him.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, a third-round pick, that's a player that you expect to become a starter after a couple years.
I think you're not relying on him, which is great. But I think there's
an afterthought.
Yeah, but it's part of that rotation. Yep. There's now a deep rotation, especially if he's involved. Joe, you can update me. I don't know how close to 100% he is. I know he was still a lot more delayed than I expected him to be coming back from the injury. So I don't know even know if he's a full go for training camp. And by the way, training camp is coming starting Thursday all the way through August 13th. Sports Radio 99 The Game brings you exclusive on-site coverage of Falcons training camp. You got the morning shift. You got Steakhouse. You got Andy and Randy broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. Once practice wraps up, you can join Dukes and Bell at the Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. Coverage brought to you by your North Georgia Honda dealers and by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party. Live coverage of Falcons training camp starts this Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And we talked about it, Sandra. It is just the official start of football season. You got the Hall of Fame game coming pretty quickly. For me, it's like the sliding of the discussion. And we're not doing these nonsensical off-season storylines or talking points. Like, we're going to talk now. You just Braylon Trice is probably our first official discussion. The discussions now are ones that impact the 2025 season. That's what ramps me up.
Well, Mike Johnson and Bo today got into it on the morning shift, and I thought it was such a great point when you start, what do you want to really watch when you go out there? And Mike was he's very right. Start to watch how they mix in the rookies into, wait for it, special teams play. Because that'll show you how they're going to use and groove with these younger players and where they're going to put you on special teams on the punt coverage and all that stuff. And he's absolutely right. And you know, okay, Jalen Walker and James Peterson, we get it. But Xavier Watts and the Braylon Trice, is he even out there? There's so many storylines. Kirk Cousins. Is Kirk Cousins going to play in the preseason games? Is Kirk Cousins going to be traded? Because that was ramping up over the weekend, you guys. Go type Kirk Cousins into Google right now.
We did see a Titans quarterback go down for the season already this year. Now, it's Will Levis.
The Titans were rumored at one point to be a potential destination for Kirk.
They lose one more quarterback. And we're business, baby.
I don't know if he wants to go somewhere where they have like literally zero chance.
He
want to
play.
Year,
he's been on record. He wants to play.
He doesn't want to play.
No, but I mean, but to your point, like that watch is now on.
Yeah.
Like we are now at the point where, because a lot of us have sat here and said Kirk Cousins is going to get traded if a team loses a quarterback and gets desperate. Like that starts now. Like that starts in training camp where anything could happen on any of the plays and a guy could unexpectedly go down. The other thing that starts to happen, I want to bring in Bo Johnson here, 92.9 The Game. Obviously talks about a lot of things, but largely regarded fantasy expert on 92.9 The Game, host of the fantasy show as well. And we were talking before the show, and Sandra's like, it's fantasy season.
When do they start drafting?
It better not be yet.
There are psychopaths that have already drafted. I'm in two leagues that we have already drafted.
There's only one time, Bo, and I'll let you give the correct answer. There's only one time the draft should start.
Until after preseason starts. But the best weekend to do all fantasy drafts is Labor Day weekend. That's 5 days before the season starts. All the preseason games are done. Injuries have happened.
I have quit leagues that draft before the end of preseason games. I will not participate.
How many are you in?
I've dropped all of my leagues.
So zero.
I'm in one. And I can't wait for that to end.
And Bo, and you're in how many?
12 last year.
And you're going to do a dozen again?
Bump it up. You want to take over the league
I'm
in?
Not by choice. Like, I quit like three or four of them last year, and then I just get drawn into other ones. I try not to do leagues where, you know, there's no interest.
Let me ask, and maybe this is too in your business. That's what I do. Do you? Is it a profit? Can you make money off of
Absolutely.
Running those leagues? Okay, so that's why you do
it. I typically will pay rent in January from fantasy football. For the season.
Okay, say that again. What? Say that again.
I will typically pay my rent or my mortgage in January. Off of
but you got to win the league.
Yeah, you got to win.
So do you get money for running you're going to head up
No, unfortunately
up
not. No.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm only the commissioner of one.
Okay.
I'm the commissioner of one league. Been in the league since 2007. All the other ones, yeah. That's a lot of work, and it's a very thankless job, yeah.
You should be paid. Joe, are you in?
I agree. We should get a cut of the pot.
Yeah, I just do one. I'm in one league. I mean, I would do more, but the thing for me is like, there's got to be like some money on the line in order for me to be interested. And ultimately, it's like, how many money leagues can I actually afford to be in?
Hmm.
So that's the thing.
I am a no money league guy. I don't want any part of that crapshoot nonsense.
Well, none, you are in the minority to the nth degree.
I'm also poor. That's its own discussion. We got a bunch of stories here, Sandra, including about how poor I am and I can't afford chicken wings. That's coming up in Belly Up. You got to stick around for this. We're going all over the place. Steakhouse continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
I see what you're doing there, Bo. Good work. Welcome into the Steakhouse. Abe is co-hosting with me this week.
Abe is singing this song in his head.
It's a lot of chicken wings. That's all I'm saying, NFLPA. That was a lot of chicken wings you bought with that money. Woohoo! All right, we have a caller on hold that's been waiting. We're going to get to Belly Up in just a second. But Abe, I think you're going to take this call. I believe it's Scott. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, you all. Hope you had a good weekend. Man, I thought I was angry at the Braves until you brought up that Pop-Tart stuff, and I can't even believe that they spent all that money on sponsoring a bowl game last year, and you open up a box of Pop-Tarts. Talk about falling off a table. Opening up a box of Pop-Tarts now is like tasting used hay from a carnival circus that's been traveling for about a month. I don't know how a big company like that could charge more, they give you less, and they actually make it taste worse.
Scott,
I don't even know about
that. Scott, listen, I want to deep dive into your hatred for a Pop-Tart. When did this all begin? When you were a little kid, did you put them in the little toaster oven and you put butter on the cherry ones and it's like change your life moment? And then the roof of your mouth was scorched and then the skin peeled off. Did you do any of that? Your true love for the tart and the pop?
Yes, and that's why I never used the toaster oven ever again, because I'm so old. Back in my day, we only had that like Black and Decker one, which burnt everything, even pizza bagels. It was just terrible. But I wanted to get some. I'll save a little hatred for the Braves, and it's not really hatred. I just think it's a come to Jesus. Really, I was at the game yesterday, and I'm watching Acuna run the bases during that home run trot. And I'm saying, I'm remembering Dansby Swanson, Freddie Freeman, and I know we've rehashed this so many times, but right now, if I'm the Braves GM, first of all, they sold their soul. They sold their culture. They're not the team that we grew up, following with the same passion. I would trade him straight up right now for that catcher from Seattle, and I would fire Snitker, because the bigger crime than allowing Acuna to, not be a leader is having a manager who has no guts to change this team mid-season or even in the beginning of the season when he felt like things were starting to fall apart. Tell me.
First of all, I don't know what happened to you on Sunday night where the side of the bed was so painful to get up on this morning. Are you on medication that you're saying you need to trade Ronald Acuna Jr.? I mean, you lost all credit. First of all, your credibility was out the window with the Pop-Tarts because we have a true love. Abe is beginning to cry over here to my right with the Pop-Tart discussion.
You could honestly tell me that Pop-Tarts taste good today. You think they're the same Pop-Tarts that we eat?
Abe.
Not only do they taste good, the variety of flavors. I mean, bravo.
I mean, a s'mores?
S'mores?
Yes.
What are we talking about here, Sandra?
Scott, I'm concerned. I just really want you to have a good day.
I think you guys are taking money from General Food.
I would if they want to pay me to talk about the tart of the pop. I mean
I'll do some live reads for Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. I'm actually with Scott on the Pop-Tarts. They taste like cardboard.
Yeah. All right, Joe, you're dead to me too. Scott, I really want you to take a deep breath.
Joe's mic off.
I always want to say, turn that frown upside down. There's a lot to be grateful for this morning. We had a great run with our Atlanta Braves. They're having an off day.
A couple things here before we get to Belly Up. If you don't like Pop-Tarts, then don't get Pop-Tarts. Get toaster strudels or some other pastry or whatever else you want in the morning. A granola bar. That can't be occupying space in your head. That can't be what really bugs you on a day in, day out basis. Just at that point, just avoid the Pop-Tart. I don't know. A lot of people are already, like, despising Alex Anthopoulos for giving guys who have had half a season contracts. We're going to trade one of the best players in baseball for a catcher who's had half a season. And don't get me wrong. Like, I like Cal Raleigh. I think he's outstanding. He's potentially, if he can keep it up, can win American League MVP
this
year.
No one's trading Ronald Acuna Jr.
But what are we talking about
ever,
here?
Ever. It's not happening.
For a 28-year-old catcher.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Even though he is
a
Seminole.
First half.
Yeah.
Heck
it's just
to a team that has two catchers.
I feel like Scott just had
Bryce
a bad
had
moment,
a
and we're going to give
half
him grace. I have plenty of terrible moments on the radio. Scott, we're going to pray for you to have a good day. I want you to go get a nice Cuban sandwich somewhere today with the spicy mustard, and there you go. Let's
right.
belly up, shall we?
Let's do it.
Brings me joy that Magic City once again is in the headlines when you're talking about Atlanta, Georgia.
Because if anyone needs the free pub, it's them.
You know, this is the kind of deep dive I do for this show, which the first thing I did with Abe this morning was, how much do you think 10 chicken wings are at Magic City? The famous lemon pepper loo and all that. How much do you think they are? And he guessed about $25. He's almost right. $23 for 10 wings, okay? A set of 50 is $104. So you can do the math any which way you like, but I am telling you, that former NFL Players Association executive director, Lloyd Howell Jr., who did resign on Thursday, he and his colleagues spent from $2,426, including, wait for it, cash withdrawals at the ATM using, which I'm guessing was his expense card. So it comes up as Magic City. I mean,
got to be smarter with your per diem.
The cash withdrawals range from $200 to $525. D-led, way to go on the deep dive from this. They used two VIP rooms because I guess you wanted to have a nice buffet of the chicken wings. You must have ordered all the flavor. Because what else are you doing at Magic City with your colleagues, right?
It must
have been the whole platter. So I'm sorry that this is how it's going down. This is not. I appreciate your love for our city and what's going and happening and all of it. So shout out to Magic City, Lemon Pepper Wings. Elle Duncan started. Did you know that State gave her the first job, like doing like a. She was at.
I have heard. Yeah.
Yeah. She was on with the Two Live Stew. She's amazing. She always has been. She's phenomenal. She was hosting. She was the studio host. She was the on-court host for the WNBA All-Star Weekend. She was phenomenal, and she may have had the best line of the weekend after Caitlin's team was not at all playing any sort of defense and got beat by 20 points.
All right. Yeah. Well, again, we hope it gets a little bit more competitive because, like, a girl's trip to Cancun right now, there's no need. It's a 22-point game for Team Collier. That's a walk-off. Sabrina Ionescu, there she is from the four-point circle. Second half action from Cambridge Fieldhouse. Tips after this.
Al, you're in timeout.
Okay, done.
I'm just saying.
All right.
In case you didn't hear her, she said it's like a girl's trip to Cancun. There ain't a lot of D. So
no.
She was referring to the defense, y'all.
Well, it's an all-star game.
Funny.
You know.
Just saying. It was great. Big week on, I guess, the History Channel or National Geographic.
Discovery? I think it's
Discovery,
right? Is it Discovery? Started last night.
People are obsessed with Shark Week, which I totally appreciate.
I used to be.
One of the greatest theme songs of all time. This is how
yeah.
it is. Meanwhile, do you see all the sharks down there in Panama City and Destin that they're showing you? It's happening for real. Also, Buckhead Restaurant Life, Restaurant Week is happening. If you've been wanting to try, I put the link on Twitter, at SportsSandra. They do a great job, Abe and Joe and Bo, with specials, and you can try a sample platter, and they put together a whole meal that are better priced than usual. So if you've been wanting to try one of the record, I want to tell you there's 50 restaurants in Buckhead that you can go to, and you will recognize every single one of them. And it's going on. Rusty sent me the link this morning. I was like, God, that's something probably people don't know about.
You better hop on and hop on now, though, because those reservations are going to get filled very quickly.
You're probably right. And last but not least, I want to recommend something that my husband and I watched on Saturday night that was phenomenal. It's called Billy Joel and So It Goes. And it is the first of a two-part series. The first one is 2.5 hours long. And the next one is this coming out on Friday. Y'all, the deep dive they went into Billy Joel's life, it's fascinating from his family life and what he could do at 7 years old on the piano, all the people that he's worked with. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. It's worth a watch.
And you know, Billy Joel is my favorite artist of all time. I don't currently have HBO Max set up, so we might have to free trial this bad boy. Once it gets released, we might have to free trial it.
So this coming Friday is the second part. So if you should do that, I'm 5 hours long. This one maybe even longer, but it is really good. Highly, highly recommend. So there you go.
I need to get into that. Billy Joel. I mean, for me, one of the best of all time.
So, oh, and you're going to love him even more, and what he went through and the love of his life.
I'm interested to see what more I could, because I read a couple books on his, they weren't autobiographies, but they were biographies, pretty in-depth ones. So I'm interested to find out what is new, I guess, from what I've read about him. So there you go. That is Belly Up. When we come back, 3 strikes, John Foyt, game of the night. We'll wrap things up here. On the Steakhouse, it's Sandra Golden, Abe Gordon in for Steak Shapiro this week, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back into the Steakhouse, 92.9 The Game. Abe and Sandra live in the Kia Studios here. 3 strikes coming up in just a moment, but first, your John Foyt Big Game of the Night, presented by John Foyt and Associates. Experienced personal injury attorneys, get the strong arm. A new series begins tonight for the Atlanta Braves. They're going to welcome in the San Francisco Giants to Truist Park, 7:15. Hayden Birdsong against Bryce Elder. Okay. I like that name. I don't know why. Hayden Birdsong.
That is an interesting name. It's a pretty name.
There you go. So that's your John Foyt Big Game of the Night,
Sandra. I'm getting to the standings now to update everybody because I didn't look at it this morning. In the National League West, the Giants are 52-48, 6 games out of first. The Dodgers are in first. Padres in second, 3.5 up on them. I will tell you that Twitter is having a moment right this very second, as the Atlanta Braves 7 minutes ago tweeted, "The Braves select catcher Sandy Leon to the major league roster today."
Yeah.
So if I can count properly, that's 3 catchers.
Or.
So trades are awaiting.
Or it's 2 catchers and a more full-time DH.
Okay. So there you go. That's the movement today. So.
And look, we it's no secret. Everyone expects Marcell Ozuna at some point to be moved. It's just a matter of who to. Because you got to remember, Marcell Ozuna does have the ability to reject a trade, I believe, because of his 10-5 rights.
He does. Mm-hmm.
And so there's that potential. And then the other aspect, and this is what I find most troubling, is like, hey man, like let's understand what we're getting back for Marcell Ozuna here. You're not getting a blue chip prospect, an arm that's regarded as a future ace. Like it is. You got a guy that's injured with 2 months before he hits free agency. You're probably not bringing back that much in a deal. So let's be realistic about what you're
also trying to trade a wounded bird that has an OPS of 578, which is worse than all but 15 hitters in Major League Baseball. So, okay. And he has the ability to say thanks, but no thanks. As we wake up this morning, your Atlanta Braves are 12.5 games out of first. And by out of first, I mean they're only 4.5 games better than the Washington Nationals in last place.
And the Giants.
How about Milwaukee, y'all?
Yeah.
10 straight they've won.
They're 5 up now on the on that first wild card spot.
Yeah.
So that's where they are. They're still trailing the Cubs, who they're kind of trailing the Cubs. It's that weird. They're in a tie percentage points and all that.
And
nonsense,
Detroit, the Tigers were the first team to 60 wins. So good for them.
Their guy, Skubal,
again. He is so good.
Man, and I saw a discussion, and we could talk about whether Acuna belongs in it too, which is his own discussion. But I saw a discussion about Skubal where he is now elevating himself into the Judge Ohtani category. and that those three guys are standalone, separate from anyone else in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. Did you see, was it Buster Olney talking about it? Because during the broadcast last
I saw it on Twitter. Yeah. So it may have been from him. I don't remember. But, yeah, I mean.
Phenomenal.
Guy's good.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. That All-Star game against Ohtani and Acuna, though. They got him.
They did get him.
They did get him. If you're going to give up runs, that's the game to give him up, though.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you said it's an exhibition, so I get it. But yeah.
You
yeah.
still bring your best, though.
Right.
We have three strikes. I am fascinated by these questions. We're going to post them right now on the 92.9 account. You have posted them as well. Go ahead and get in line to answer them. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929 to play three strikes. Sando, what are our questions?
3 days away from Falcons training camp. So what we were saying, and you're not allowed to say like Bijan or Michael Penix, your breakout player, unexpected name maybe, your breakout player for this season for our Atlanta Falcons. The worst junk food. It's National Junk Food Day. So what's the worst thing in the cabinet? Scott has a real, real problem with Pop-Tarts. I'm concerned for Scott today and his hate for all things.
I'm thinking maybe a Pop-Tart did Scott wrong.
I think so. It got burnt. I think the top of his mouth was ruined for life. And then last but not least, we're talking about Coldplay, the band or the type of music that you get shamed for to the tune of like a Nickelback or how dare. Listen, we're going to Backstreet Boys and Allie Mack is going next weekend. I'm going in 2 weeks. And she said one of her friends or your friend's husband's going. Somebody's husband's
yeah,
going.
Yeah, I had a friend who went like this past weekend to Backstreet Boys.
Now, you mean Quavo? Because did y'all see Quavo's video at Backstreet Boys
there?
At the Sphere this past Saturday night? So don't Backstreet Boys shame y'all because it's really something. It's going to be good.
404-726-0929 if you want to get involved in three strikes. Just one more quick visit to this Eddie Perez Jazz Chisholm stuff here, Sandra.
I think it's going to go away.
Do you?
I do. I think
I hope it does.
There's much ado about nothing because they're going to have all the audio in the world. And what do you think? So just to recap, tell everybody, Jazz Chisholm's on second.
Jazz Chisholm's relaying the location of a pitch to a batter when he's on second. He's essentially tipping that the pitch is going to be elevated. It's going to be a higher pitch. It ended up turning into a sac fly that scored a run. And Eddie Perez is motioning in the direction of Jazz Chisholm, pointing to his head. And who knows what's actually being said, what the motion is supposed to mean. But Eddie Perez is suggesting it. All I was trying to do was this. Aaron Boone's out there saying, well, what if he was actually trying to say this? And it was
and
a bunch
this,
of nonsense.
He was saying, are they trying to say we're going to hit you in the head?
A lot of people viewed it as a threat that they were going to throw at Jazz Chisholm's head. And I've mentioned this to you off air. We had ran out of time a couple segments ago when we talked about it. Eddie Perez is a baseball lifer. He knows the unwritten rules. I'm not even saying he's not threatening to throw at a guy. I don't think Eddie Perez is ever calling for a guy to be headhunted.
He's not
calling. And if you're going to throw at a guy, and this is a long-time discussion of baseball, if you're going to throw at a guy in baseball, you do it right. You find the meat of the backside or somewhere he can get his arm to protect himself. You're never throwing at a guy's head. You're just not. And I just don't see a world or a scenario which Eddie Perez would ever, ever call for that.
I think Eddie was saying to Jazz and got his attention that we see you. So his head is up here like around the eyes, like we see you. Be smart. Like, what are you doing? And by the way, they're talking in Spanish, so I don't know what they said. But somebody's going to hear it. My issue, the other part of this is that Aaron Boone all of a sudden had a hissy fit and said, we're going to tell on you. We're going to Major League Baseball without having the respect for his the manager, his peer, to go to Brian Snitker and say, what was that about? And because how do I know that? Snitker said yesterday after the game that he did not know about any of this. So it's in the presser. You can go listen to it. I thought Aaron should have just walked across the field and say, what's going on? Let's have a discussion about it. Not to Eddie, to Brian Snitker. That's how you do things. So I think it goes away. I think it's much ado about nothing.
Yeah. All right. 404-726-0929. If you want to get involved.
See, when Abe is done with me talking, that's what he just does. He goes, yeah. All right.
No, I thought we were supposed to slide in. I agree with you. I think.
It's fine. I'm going on a rant.
I think you make a good point because it wasn't the one that I initially thought of when I look at this issue. I think from, you know me, I'm a sports first guy, right? So I'm like thinking from the baseball aspect of it. could he have meant this? What exactly? And it all comes back to what I said. It's just, I don't think Eddie Perez is calling for a guy to be headhunted. And I think you're right, though. Like, handle this man to man. Like, we're going to go cry behind everyone's back to Major League Baseball. Whether he officially went to Major League Baseball or kind of just loosely put it out there.
Major League Baseball needs to look into it or whatever it was.
He knew what he was doing. Like, and Aaron Boone's been around long enough. If he has a problem with something the Braves are doing, and Brian Snitker is a guy who is a, because there are some guys that you can't go into their office and have this meeting with. Brian Snitker's not that guy.
100%.
If that's the problem, hey, I got a glass of wine here. We can sit and talk this thing out. I'll tell you what our guy was. Hey, Eddie, would you mind coming in here for a second? We could talk this thing out and handle it like dudes.
Exactly.
With respect.
Then it's over. It's done. Nobody's hitting anybody in the head. It's ridiculous.
No one was going to anyway.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing for me. And so, again, I don't have an issue with Jazz Chisholm.
I have an issue with the bullpen being terrible. That's my biggest issue with the Braves and what happened.
I got some bad news for you. You mentioned that this Jazz Chisholm, Eddie Perez thing will just kind of get brushed aside and we'll get through it quickly. I don't think we're doing the same with the bullpen issue.
No,
I think that's just going to be
there. It's over.
Yeah, I think that one's just going to be there.
All right, 404-726-0929. Please fill up the phone lines because Steak will shame me personally. And it'll tell me I stink and I had bad questions, which is all
you
on
can
the
just
table.
Blame it on me.
No. It's my questions. They could have been absolutely terrible. But, here we go.
All right, three strikes. Right now is your opportunity to answer the three questions, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929 to get into three strikes. Your unexpected Falcons breakout player, and like Sandy said, don't give me Penix. I think we're all expecting that. Give me someone a little bit less obvious. The worst junk food or snack, and a band or music that you love that you get shamed for. Do you guys ever answer these on your own before the calls?
Yeah, well, we'll do that now while the phone lines fill
up. I'm fascinated by number three.
You have to do all three. You're not allowed to do just one. That's not how this works.
I am going to say for number one,
Falcons player that's going to have a breakout year that you're not thinking about.
Is it weird? This is going to get me a lot of hate. Charlie Warner.
Why is that? No. That
I just because everyone wants it to be about Pitts, and I do as well. I don't think it will, and I think that the way they're going to run formations and I think Charlie Warner.
Joe Patrick, I want to hear what you say. Like, what's your player? Falcons beat reporter
and
Mac
Daddy. With Divine Diablo, and he was signed
linebacker,
starter money,
baby.
But I feel like he's not being talked about as a starter. He's going to compete with Troy Anderson for that starting role with Caden Ellis.
Is Troy Anderson? God, that's another forgotten.
Yeah, they're being careful with him. I mean, he was around in OTAs, but he was just kind of off to the side. He was on the field, but not dressed out and practicing with the guys.
All right, Abe, number two. The worst junk food.
Yeah, you put or snack, and so I'm going to go, the healthy. Like, I guess sometimes I'll have it because I'm trying to be healthier, but, the idea of, passing aside a bowl of chips and salsa or popcorn and be like, I'm going to have carrots today.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's not junk. You're not doing it right.
Well, it's a snack. No. It's a snack. In terms of junk food, okay. I'm not the biggest fan of Fritos.
Okay, me neither. It smells like feet.
I'm
with you.
The,
okay.
The Fritos thing.
Yeah. All right. Band or music that you love that you get shamed for?
It's one of two. It's either Billie Eilish or Olivia Rodrigo. Probably mostly Olivia Rodrigo because I'm too old to like that kind of music, I guess.
I don't think so. I
feel like that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember she was coming to play State Farm last year, and I was like, should I put in for tickets?
You should.
And I'm like, I don't, as a solo guy, I don't know if I can go to this concert right now. I didn't. I kind of still wish I had, but I didn't.
I would have been proud of you for going by yourself. So there we go.
Yeah. I got a couple calls here. We'll start three strikes. We have Greg, who is in Rome. Greg, your unexpected Falcons breakout player this season.
I think it's going to be the Tice. He got hurt last year.
Braylon, yeah.
We were expecting a lot. Yeah, I think we're going to see some unexpected stuff from him this year.
All right. What's the worst junk food?
pork skins, pork rinds.
That's
bad.
A good one.
I love those. They're diet friendly. And what's the band or music that you love that you get shamed for?
It's got to be. I mean, can you go wrong with Barry? I mean, really.
Which one was it? We're sorry, you cut out.
Barry Manilow.
A fan of Lowe. I love you.
There you
I
go.
Love you so much.
We'll wrap things up today with Tinker in Kennesaw. Tinker, your unexpected Falcons breakout player this year.
Say it again.
Rukaroro.
All right. I hope you're right.
What's the worst junk food?
Not the single, not the double, but the mega stuffed Oreo.
The stuffed Oreo there. And what's a band or music that you get shamed for?
We're going to have to go with Abba.
Fiona Apple?
Fiona?
Who
Abba.
Oh, Abba. Oh, I do love Abba. I do love Abba. You're never going to get that shame from me. I'm a big fan. Anyways.
Abba, honestly, Abe, it's such my girlfriend right now.
I know.
I can't even.
I know. I do
the
love
Abba. The Daiquiris, the Abba, Olivia Rodrigo.
I stand for Abba.
You should get
after it. That's it. 2 hours, like we say, fastest in the business here at the Steakhouse. Andy and Randy are coming up next, but me and Sandra get to run it back tomorrow. So should be a lot of fun on a Tuesday. Sandy, hope you have a great afternoon.
You too,
I have
thank
a dentist
you.
Appointment, so it won't be that great.
Y'all buy Scott a beer if you run into him out there.
Don't buy him a Pop-Tart. That's for darn sure. You'll have problems. All right, that's going to do it for the Steakhouse. Andy and Randy coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.